This is Reverend Caesar again, coming to you on BBS Radio to bring the good news again. I am glad that you are listening and you're inviting me in your homes. I am so worked up to really tell you about this good news today. I want to talk to you about victory over temptation. Victory over temptation. But I'll be taking my topic from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning from verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See here, you see, what really happened here? Then when the devil came and take him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Satan now supposes that he has met Jesus on his own ground, on Satan's own turf. So he says to himself, I got you now, big fella. I got you now. The will for himself presents words that proceeded from the mouth of God. He still appears as an angel of light and makes it evident that he is acquainted with the scriptures and understands the import of what is written. Yes, he was there in heaven, so he knows the scriptures better than all of us here. And we cannot slack up on that guy. And Jesus before used the word of God to sustain his faith. The tempter now uses it to countenance his deception. He claims that he has been only testing the fidelity of Jesus. And he now commends his steadfastness as the Savior has manifested trust in God. Satan urges him to give still another evidence of his faith, trying him out, wanting now to not to really feel that he is. But again, the temptation is prefaced with the insinuation of distrust. And he says, if thou be the Son of God, Christ was tempted to answer the if. But he refrained from the slightest acceptance of the doubt. he would not imperil his life in order to give evidence to Satan. No. Don't ever do that. And the temper thought that advantage of crisis humanity and urged him to presupposition. But while Satan can solicit, he cannot compel to sin. He cannot compel us to sin. He said to Jesus, cast thyself down, knowing that he could not cast him down, knowing that he, Satan, could not cast Christ down, for God would interpose. God was intervening to it to deliver him. Nor could Satan force Jesus to cast himself down. He couldn't. Unless Christ or any one of us should consent to temptation, Satan could never be overcome, can never overcome us. Not all the power of earth, hell, could force him in the slightest degree to depart from the will of his Father. The temple can never compel us to do evil. He cannot control minds unless they are yielded to his control. He cannot control us to do evil. He cannot control minds unless they are yielded to his control. So the will must consent. Faith must let go its hold upon Christ before Satan can exercise his power upon any one of us. But every sinful desire we cherish affords him a foothold. Every time we desire in our heart to do something, he drives his wedges in the cracks. Every point in which we fail of meeting the divine standard is an open door by which he can enter to tempt and destroy us. And every failure or defeat in our part gives occasion for Lucifer to reproach Christ. We must always be on guard. We must always close the door because he will walk right in. No cracks. No nothing. We must always, always, always close every doors and every cracks. When Satan quoted the promise, he shall give his angels charge over thee, he omitted the words to keep thee in all thy ways. That is, in all the ways of God's chosen. Jesus refuses to go outside of the path of obedience. And while manifesting perfect trust in his Father, he would not place himself unbidden in a position that would necessitate the interposition of his Father to save him from death. He would not force providence to come to his rescue and just fail to give man an example of trust and submission. Oh, what a Christ he is. He knew who he is. He knew who he is. And therefore, he could not have given up on anything that the Lord, that he has to do for the Lord. He is the Son of God. Jesus declares to Satan, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." These words were spoken by Moses to the children of Israel when they thirsted in the desert and demanded that Moses should give them water, exclaiming, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So you can find that in Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. You know, God had wrought marvelously for them. Yet in trouble, they doubted him and demanded evidence that he was with them. In their unbelief, they sought to put him to the test. And Satan was urging Christ to do the same thing. God had already testified that Jesus was his son. And now to ask for proof that he was the Son of God would be putting God's word to the test, tempting him. And the same word would be true of asking for that which God had not promised. It would manifest distrust and be really proving or tempting. It would be really tempting him. We should not present our petitions to God to prove whether he will fulfill his word, but because he will fulfill it, not to prove that he loves us, but because he loves us. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you can find that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But faith is in no sense allied to presumption. Only he who has true faith is secure against presumption. For presumption is Satan's counterfeit of faith. Faith claims God's promises and brings forth fruit in obedience. Presumption also claims the promises, but uses them, as Satan did, to excuse transgressions. Faith would have led our false parents to trust the love of God and to obey his commands. Presumption led them to transgress his law, believing that his great love would save them from the consequence of their sin. It is not faith that claims the favor of heaven without complying with the conditions on which mercy is to be granted. Genuine faith has its foundation in the promises and provisions of the scriptures. And so often, when Satan has failed of exciting distrust, he succeeds in leading us to presumption. If he can cause us to place ourselves unnecessarily in the way of temptation, he knows that the victory is his. He got us. He will hold us there. God will preserve all who walk in the path of obedience. But to depart from it is to venture on Satan's ground. There we are sure to fall, and Satan would not have mercy on us. He will wreak havoc on our lives. The Savior has bidden us watch and pray, lest he enter into temptation. In Mark 14:38, meditation and prayer would keep us from rushing unbidden into the way of danger. And thus we should be saved from many a defeat. Yet we could not lose courage when assailed by temptation. Often when placed in a trying situation, we doubt that the Spirit of God has been leading us. But it was the Spirit's leading that brought Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. When God brings us into trial, he has a purpose to accomplish for our going unbidden into temptation. Neither did he give, neither did he give up to despondency when temptation came upon him. Nor should we. God is faithful, who will not suffer you or us to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that he may be able to bear it. He says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And you can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, Psalms 50, verse 14 and 15. Jesus was victor in the second temptation, and now Satan manifests himself in his true character. But he does not appear as a hideous monster with cloven feet and bat's wings. He is a mighty angel, though fallen. He avows himself the leader of rebellion and the God of this world, placing Jesus upon a high mountain. Satan calls the kingdoms of the world in all their glory to pass in panoramic view before him. The sunlight lay on temple cities, marble places, fertile fields, and fruit-laden vineyards. but the traces of evil were hidden. The eyes of Jesus, so lately greeted by gloom and desolation, now gazed upon a scene of unsurpassed loveliness and prosperity. Then again the tempter's voice was heard. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ's mission could be fulfilled only through suffering. Before him was a life of sorrow, hardship, and conflict, and an ignominious death. He must bear the sins of the world. He must endure separation from his Father's love. Now, the tempter offered to yield up the power he had usurped. Christ might deliver himself from the dreadful future by acknowledging the supremacy of Satan. But to do this was to yield a victory in the great controversy. It was in seeking to exalt himself above the Son of God that Satan had sinned in heaven. Should he prevail now? It would be the triumph of rebellion. Should he prevail now? It would be the triumph of rebellion. So when Satan declared to Christ, "The kingdom and glory of the world are delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it," he stated what was truly only in part, and he declared it to serve his own purpose of deception. Yeah. Satan's dominion was that wrestled from Adam. But Adam was the vicegerent of the Creator. His was not an independent rule. The earth is God's, and he has command, and he has committed all things to his Son. Adam was to reign subject to Christ. When Adam betrayed his sovereignty into Satan's hand, Christ still remained the rightful king. Thus the Lord had said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of heaven and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Find that in Daniel 4:17, Satan can exercise his usurped authority only as God permits. And so when the temple offered to Christ the kingdom and glory of the world, he was proposing that Christ should yield up the real kingship of the world and hold dominion subject to Satan. This, ladies and gentlemen, this was the same dominion upon which the hopes of the Jews were set. They desired the kingdom of this world. If Christ had consented to offer them such as kingdom, they would gladly have received him. But the curse of sin, with all its woe, rested upon it. Christ declared to the temple, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." By the one who had revolted in heaven, the kingdoms of this world were offered Christ to buy his homage to the principle of evil. But he would not be bought. He had come to establish a kingdom of righteousness, and he would not abandon his purpose. With the same temptation, Satan approaches men. And here he has better success than with Christ. To man he offers the kingdom of this world on condition that they will acknowledge his supremacy. He requires that they sacrifice integrity, disregard conscience, indulge selfishness. Christ bid them seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But Satan walks by their side and says, whatever way or may be true in regard to life eternal, in order to make a success in this world, you must serve me. Liar, liar, liar. He says, I hold your welfare in my hands. I can give you riches, pleasures, honor, and happiness. Hearken to my counsel. Do not allow yourselves to be carried away with whimsical notions of honesty or self-sacrifice. I will prepare the way before you. This multitude are deceived. They consent to live for the service of self, and Satan is satisfied. And while he allures them with the hope of worldly dominion, he gains dominion over the soul. But he offers that which is not his to bestow, and which is soon to be wrested. And which is soon to be wrested from him. In return, he beguiles them of their title to the inheritance of the Son of God. Satan had questioned whether Jesus was the Son of God. In his summary dismissal, he had proved that he could not gainsay. Divinity flashed through suffering humanity. Satan had no power to resist the command. Writing with humiliation and rage, he was forced to withdraw from the presence of the world's Redeemer. Christ's victory was as complete as he had been failure of Adam. And so we may resist temptation and force Satan to depart from us. Jesus gained the victory through submission and faith in God. And by the apostle, he says to us, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your divine word. Thank you for another week. Thank you for your divine unction. And I pray, O God, that your word bless the hearts and the ears of those who are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I ask the Holy Spirit to go with you everywhere you go, guide you and protect you. May he cover you with his precious blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.